This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Good morning and welcome to Flatting Today here on Manawatu People's Radio. So it's just me again, Daniel here, because Cam is still off gallivanting across America. Last I saw, he was enjoying a bit of time in Las Vegas and looking forward to spending a bit of a good old New York Christmas. But this program may well be aired well after Christmas, but we'll see how it all goes in the end. But anyway, I'm here from the Manawatu Tenants Union as well. So if you have any tenancy troubles, be sure to give us a bit of a pester on 06-3577-435 or an email at info@mtu.org.nz. And I will do my best to get back in touch as soon as possible. We are currently working on reduced office hours because it's just me in the office. So it's just between 10 and 3 on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. And then, of course, we're going to be closing down for Christmas when the Hancock Community House building happens to be locked so no one could get in anyway. So that's going to be from the 12th of January to the 12th of December. But I will still have the phone to cover any potential emergencies. So if you need us, just give us a call and I will do my best to help out. But anyway, at the time of recording, one of the big things to have happened is the pet bonds have finally come through. So today you get to enjoy a bit of a natter about bonds. And maybe a little about pets as well. But bonds are definitely one of the big issues that we are seeing again at the moment. Unfortunately, currently, it's a lot of nuisance from the tenancy services side of things because they redid their bond system to be all online, which was not a great idea to start with, but that's another matter entirely because, you know, digital literacy and all of that, as well as, hey, you need to access your bond and you happen to live in a rural area without internet, good luck. But anyway, so they've redone their system. And unfortunately, that made a great big disruption to bonds being lodged and being returned. And as of the 1st of December, when pet bonds are now a thing, there has been another great big disruption to how it all works out, and they have to keep taking the system down. So we've had quite a few calls lately where somebody has been sitting around waiting for tenancy services to get back to them and return their bond for about a month or two now, and nothing at all is happening. Which, of course, when you really need those bonds, it's a bit of a nuisance to have them all just disappearing amongst the government bureaucracy ether, and it is up to 4 weeks rent, and the rent is pretty silly at the moment. So I think we've got last one I heard was about $3,000, which is still relatively on the lower side because we've got median rent here in Palmerston North of about $520 for, you know, median house and all that, which is interesting matter to start with. But anyway, 4 weeks of that definitely adds up quite nicely. But anyway, but of course it's always worth a reminder that just because a property owner or a property manager decides that they want to take some of your bond at the end of a tenancy, you don't have to do it. You can dispute it. And you can do it in such a way that you still get all of that which is undisputed back to you, and then you can fight about the rest later. So there's a very, at least in the paper forms, when you're able to do them, a very helpful little question on the pay the tenants, pay the landlord, and hold in dispute. So, you know, you just put in the amount that you definitely feel should go to you. The amount you definitely feel should go to the landlord, at least you agree that that's what they should take, and then put the rest in the Holden dispute. And that way, at least, the first part gets processed and you can have it and do what you need to do with it, such as move house and pay the next bond, which is often how it ends up getting stuck. But with pet bonds for the added additional fun bonus, that is something that a property owner is now able to charge if you happen to have a pet as part of the reasonable conditions on pet ownership. And that's only allowed to be 2 weeks of your rent, which I know is still like $1,000 easy enough, which again definitely adds up and does make getting a pet somewhat more difficult when it comes with this great big massive upfront cost. But anyway, that's another matter entirely, and getting access to that's going to be a different fun trouble, because, well, we don't really know how MSD is going to handle this sort of thing. We'll have to find out as we go. There is always the case of, if you happen to already have a pet, you do not need to worry about pet bonds at all. This is only covering new pets and new tenancies. So if you're living somewhere right now and you happen to have a pet, no matter how big or exciting or small and immobile, then everything is fine currently. But if you want to move to a new house, then you might have to do the pet bond, or if you are wanting to get a new one, or have the unfortunate case of one of them dying, then if you want to replace it, you may well have to do a pet bond this time. Because while it is optional, a property owner doesn't have to charge it, my suspicion is that most of them probably will. Because charging a bond at the moment is optional and it can only be up to 4 weeks' rent. But that definitely doesn't stop them charging 4 weeks' rent, and a bond is standard practice almost wherever you go. But yes, that optionality being sort of incorporated into standard practice, which just makes it standard practice. You can't really get out of that one. So yeah, my feeling is we're probably going to see a whole heap of pet bond stuff coming out. And pet bonds are special in that not only are they extra that you can charge, whereas previously you could only do the rent in advance and the bond and nothing else. This is an additional bond that you can do with the extra 2 weeks. And it can't really cover anything else except for the old pet damage. And if a pet does cause damage, intentionally or not, or, you know, you allow it to happen, whether you know it or not, then all of that money comes out. None of it gets knocked off by, you know, insurance or anything like that. So if your wee pet manages to rip up the entire wall, probably not, you still have to pay all of the money to replace that wall. It's not like your sort of damage caused by a person or a visitor, in which case it's either the 4 weeks' rent as the bond or insurance excess, whichever happens to be smaller. So yes, insurance doesn't count when you have a pet, unfortunately, which I suppose is probably going to help the insurance companies, who will now enjoy charging extra pet insurance for tenants. But, you know, that's a different matter of exploitation. And amongst all of that, as the pet bond is probably going to be the condition that just always happens. Unfortunately, it's one of those, if you have a goldfish, officially, that counts as a pet. And you could be charged a pet bond, even if it is a single goldfish on a 1 liter tank that, you know, sits in the corner, which is admittedly not the best way to treat a goldfish. They have rather more intelligence than most people give them credit for. And, you know, one of the things about the whole lack of memory and all that sort of stuff, is mostly, it seems, that they are kept intentionally small to fit in those nice little tanks, and they get bored stupid. But, you know, that's another matter entirely. So, yes, officially, a goldfish would count as a pet. It requires asking the property owner if you're allowed to have, and they can charge a pet bond for it. I mean, most would probably be perfectly reasonable and say, yeah, it's fine, don't bother. But, you know, if you got to do your due diligence on doing the right thing, you still have to for a goldfish. Even though I think we can be quite safe in saying that, yes, the pet bond thing is much more for the dogs and the cats and the larger animals. And the tale goes that Chris Bishop, the Minister for Housing, he wanted to find a place to rent in Wellington while it is part of the government, and couldn't find anywhere because he happened to have a dog. And so he got frustrated enough and decided that, you know, as part of a promise to tenants, he would make getting pets easier. It also counts as a, like, hey, tenants, look, we're making getting pets easier, more costly for you, but we will not worry about that. And at the same time, we're going to remove all of your security of tenure regulations. That'll be all right, won't it? Yes. I don't think that was a good deal at all, and I made sure that we said so during our submission, and when we got to meet the Minister for Housing, or at least I sent Cam, well, Cam went up with the information that I gave to him for that sort of stuff. But, you know, we will see how it all pans out. That was a different, interesting tangent, or maybe not interesting, but we will see. I'm just rambling at the moment, because that's how it goes sometimes. But if we're going to go back to bonds in general, before I get too completely distracted, there it's normally managed at the end of the tenancy or relatively quickly afterwards. Ideally, you'd want to have a pretty good idea on how everything's going to work out just as you're leaving or beforehand. But, you know, it doesn't always work out that way, especially because you tend to need the bond before you move to and arrange for your next house, whereas you don't get the bond from the old one back until after you've already left. But, you know, that's a different extra bit of fun. It's always worth the reminder that a property owner or manager can make all sorts of stupid and silly demands, but you only need to leave the house reasonably clean and tidy. And, you know, reasonably clean and tidy is a very vague and particularly unhelpful way of describing much of anything. And it doesn't help with the at the tenancy tribunal, and it doesn't really fit well with tenants or property owners either, because everyone's version of what counts as reasonable can be quite different. But the general rule of thumb is as long as you leave the place, surfaces wiped down and a good vacuum. You know, what you would normally be doing to keep it nice and tidy while you were living there anyway. At least, if you're going to be living somewhere, I do hope that you would at least vacuum. I mean, I normally do it only once every fortnight, and that's perfectly fine, and that's what I've done for all the rental properties I've stayed in. That, you know, works perfectly good. And, you know, as long as you're not leaving, like, great big stains on the carpet or walls or on all the benchtop surfaces, you'll be right. And there is always the possibility of little holes and scuffs on the wall, like pinpricks and that sort of thing is fine. No need to worry about that one. After all, you're allowed to put pictures up. Although you do strictly need to ask the property owner beforehand, again, much like the silly things on pets, but there you go. But ultimately, as long as once you leave, you decide to, well, get photos of everything, you'll probably be perfectly fine if any property owner or property manager decides to do something silly, like try to claim some of that bond. Unless, of course, you agree with it, and that's perfectly fine. Sometimes, you know, accidents happen. And you didn't mean to spill tomato sauce all over the carpet, but that's just how it went. And, you know, perfectly fine. It's always better to own up to these accidents after all, because they happen. But they can't expect you to clean up what was pre-existing at the property before you moved in. So ideally, have photos of when you moved in so you can compare them to when you moved out, because you can be quite sure that the property manager, if not the property owner, will have also done that. And it's better not to rely on their evidence to prove yourself as fine and good, because that doesn't always work out. Although we did have a very silly case a couple of years ago. There was a property manager who was charging the tenant for the lawns and cleaning up the windows at the end of a tenancy. And we thought, okay, this is silly and unnecessary, particularly because it was a house relatively close to a street and a rural property as well. So, you know, the windows were just going to get a bit dirty, and a bit dusty is perfectly fine. No one really cares. And, you know, anyone who is going to, it's not really the tenant who needs to be tidying all that extra bit up anyway. The property owner can do it. But again, no one really cares. They also wanted the house water blasted too, I think. And the outside of the property was mostly because after the tenant left, the property manager didn't look at it again for about 2 weeks in the middle of summer. Or it might have been spring. Anyway, this sort of time period. And so like, yeah, you can get a lot of growth over a couple of weeks when you've got nice rain and sun. And that, again, isn't the tenant's problem, that they didn't get around to looking at it soon enough. So that tenant, however, didn't have photos of when they left or when they started the tenancy. But we were able to get those from the property manager. And it managed to show that not only was the grass, you know, not hugely different from when the tenant moved in, but the outside of the house and the windows actually perfectly fine. You could see through them. There didn't appear to be any dust or muck on them. And the outside of the property was basically the same as when the tenant had moved in about a year ago. And as it comes to mind, I think the property owner also complained about some rubbish left on the property, which we were able to find already there in the photos before the tenant moved in. So it was like, hey, all of these things were already there, or making the tenant do it would improve the property's standard to more than what it was when they moved in. Which, you know, if you want to do, all good and fine. But it's not a tenant's obligation to improve the asset of the property owner. After all, it's their asset. They're already making money off it. You can't sort of expect the person who's paying to live in there to actively improve your asset for you. If you want it done, then you have to do it yourself. But anyway, the particularly amusing bit was not only did we managed to get that information from the property manager, but when we presented it at a mediation, they were very unhappy and they felt that they hadn't seen the pictures before and they didn't know that they were going to be presented, which is a case of that they were your photos that you would be needing to prove your case. We asked for them. So, you know, you complaining about having them there was very odd. But, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. That was admittedly not a property manager who was very good. And I think they've sort of left the industry at the moment, but that's another matter entirely. Anyway, after that wee tangent, it's just the case of, you know, reasonably clean and tidy, which is perfectly fine for a vacuum and a quick wipe down of the surfaces, and then you'll be all good without any troubles at all. It doesn't stop the property owner or the property manager being silly about it, mind you. So they can definitely still try to claim things. With the big one that they tend to claim is the carpet cleaning, which I think we've mentioned quite a few times before, but it's always worth a reminder that the clause in a tenancy agreement to get the carpets professionally cleaned is unenforceable. So they can say it as much as they like, but they can't make you do it. In a similar vein, even if you have a pet, it doesn't make it immediately have to happen either. Only if you agree and decide you want to do it. Which, you know, in some cases it can be a bit of a extra courtesy or perfectly fair enough depending on what your pet was like. Like today we had someone come in who the property manager insisted that they get the carpets professionally cleaned, even going to the like, hey, talk to these people and tell them that we sent you and all that sort of stuff. You know, encouraging them to pick their in-house one probably. And the tenant didn't want to do that way, and so they arranged their own one because they happened to have a pet. Although this pet slept in a door, in a kennel just inside one of the doors. I think it was probably to the laundry or the bathroom. So, you know, they weren't on carpeted areas anywhere. And they spent most of their time outside except for, you know, sleeping in their kennel when inside. So it was a case of like, hey, most of the carpets completely unaffected by the dog except for what, you know, you bring in yourself. So probably perfectly fine. But the tenant wanted to do it anyway out of a courtesy and a kindness. And they, hey, yeah, all good. Not obligated, but yeah, all goodly. And hey, if you do want to get your carpet cleaned professionally at the end of a tenancy, there is nothing against it. But do make sure that you've got the receipt and you don't lose it. Because there's always the possibility of the property owner deciding that they want to have it done again and complaining about it and then going through tenancy tribunal. And you'd be able to need to prove that, like, hey, look, I did get it done. I know I didn't need to, but I did it anyway. Here's the receipt. You can't charge me for yours just because the standard wasn't good enough. That's not my problem. Because, yeah, if you're getting anything professionally done, it's more than reasonably clean and tidy. But, you know, that's another matter again. I think there's been a lot of academic discussion on what reasonably clean and tidy actually means and how the tenancy tribunal has been interpreting it. And, of course, it's mostly emphasized as, who knows? So generally, yeah, as long as you vacuum and wipe the surfaces, you'll be right. But I do see that we are starting to run out of time a wee little bit. I think I might just give you a wee bit more songs to listen to at the end of our wee session today. Because, as always, there's plenty of things to say about various Bondy stuff and plenty of interesting tangents I'm sure will come to mind as I'm rabbiting on about all about them in general, but probably not quite enough to fit within our time or to go completely over it, which is always the trouble. So I hope you've enjoyed, or at least tolerated, I suppose, listening to today's episode of Flatting Today, brought to you by the Manawatu People's Radio and the Manawatu Tenants Union. And I hope you managed to have a good rest of your day. And if you happen to have any bond troubles or tenancy disputes that you've got coming up in general and you want a bit of a hand with, that's just the 0635 77435 or info@mtu.org.nz. And just for now, you can ignore the Art of Office email return, because I'll get there. It might just take a wee bit because reduced operating hours. And of course, we are closed between December the 12th and January the 12th. But I will still be there to lend a hand as I can. But anyway, ta-ta for now. Enjoy your day and all the best.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.